Hello, friends. Welcome to One Place, Many Voices, Pinellas County. I'm your host of the series, Nanette Weiser, and with me in studio today is Tim Valley, our producer. This is the podcast series that zooms in on our local slice of the country to explore what it means to be Pinellas County residents and how our community reflects the broader American story. This podcast is powered by Heritage Village with support from the Florida Humanities Grant. Well, listen, I got my hometown girls here today. I'm a Seminole girl. I used to come to Seminole to visit my brother, Elliot Weiser, started Bay News 9, see my little niece. But with me today are two amazing women, Michelle Abram. She is the president of the Seminole Historical Society, and with her is a longtime resident and musician, Kristen Oliphant. Ladies, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi. Welcome.
Happy to be here.
Oh, I love these shiny faces. So let's start with you. Just tell us about the History Museum, the Historical Society, where it's located, and how long it's been there. Let's start with that.
Okay. Hi, this is Michelle Abramo, and I'm the president of the Seminole Historical Society. The society operated out of our rec center for 10 years. At that point, we were given space in Seminole City Park in a building that had been reformatted, and the Seminole Museum became into existence, and that was 11 years ago. So the Historical Society has been here for 21 years, and we are constantly doing, adding, changing speaker series every month except for in the summertime, and we've got great programs, and we're free to the public. We just operate only by donations and memberships.
And the actual street address is?
Okay. It is, I think it's 7462 Ridge Road,
yes.
Seminole, Florida, okay. 33772.
And we will have all that information in our story. So I want to talk a little bit about Seminole and the history of Seminole. And, you know, I understand, Kristen, that you know a lot about that. So we're going to turn it over to you for a little bit.
Okay. Well, Seminole, I believe, became a city in 1971, City of Seminole, or 70 or 71. But I actually moved to Seminole when I was 6 months old. And at that particular time, it was 1967, and Seminole was a much different place. The area where the city park is basically was a homestead for one of the pioneer families. We live, my mom, Sandy and Mike Holloway, who bought property there, lived right across the street from the city of Seminole Park, and it was actually homesteaded by the Mears family, which was one of the pioneer families that came over from, I believe, Wales in the 1870s. So there were like two families, the Leach family and then the Mears family, and then the home where my mom lived in, of course, was by Colonel Rhodes. He came down to have, you know, he had summer home here for like four homes here. And it was much different. It was a wildlife preserve. There was no hunting signs. There was the S curves, and there was no traffic, and it was dark. And everybody who drives down, you know, right by the city park now, you know, I mean, you almost get hit going down there. But at that time, it was desolate. There were orange groves. I don't know exactly how many groves there were, but we played in the orange groves when we were kids. Rode horses. It was a different time. It was a different place.
What was it like? Which school do you go to? What elementary school?
I went to Seminole Elementary. At that time, there was Seminole Elementary was there. Bowder, I believe, had just opened. But Seminole Elementary is not the oldest school, but I believe Anona is. Old school. You know, I mean, it was no air conditioning. I mean, now I feel like this relic talking here. Okay. So, you know, no air conditioning until they got the pod, which was in like the early 70s, you know. And so that school was very community oriented. You know, everybody's mom and dad knew everybody, the PTA. You know, families knew each other. It was, you know, you walked to school. There was the Seminole Mall.
There was a Seminole Mall.
Seminole Mall.
Was it Kmart then or was it?
No, it was Woolco.
Oh, wow.
Woolco was before Kmart, yeah. Because it was Woolco, and then it was Zares, and then it was Kmart. And, you know, they had the old alligator in the middle of the mall, okay? Telly's Restaurant. You know, it was, and I actually worked at J. Byron's later on. Yeah, yeah. So that was like one of my first jobs. So
you said that you actually knew Pete Gallagher, who does the Florida Folk Show at Radio St. Pete.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your music journey and how you started.
Well, music has a lot to do with Seminole. Okay. And I can kind of tie it in that way is that, you know, back in the Pete Gallagher was a very good friend of my dad's, who my dad was a longtime resident of Seminole. He served on the Planning and Zoning Commission. They were, my parents have always been very active in the community, but my dad was a musician and he played in Pete's band, the Greengrass Revival. And let me just kind of wrap it in that they, my mom was also a part of an organization called the Seminole Junior Women's Club. And they actually wanted to do a fundraiser for children's charities. And they had this wonderful idea that a great way to do this was to have a bluegrass festival in Seminole. And in Seminole, the Seminole City Park is where the first Seminole Bluegrass Festival was in 1977. And Pete Gallagher played there with my dad's band and a host of other musicians who just wanted to come in, and they donated their time for free. And this event went on for 25 years. So it's a huge part of Seminole. And now we have Music in the Park, and that was kind of the precursor to, you know, the idea of, like, you know, music in a park type of thing.
And Kristen's mom, Sandy Holloway, was one of the people starting, the people that started up Music in the Park when the city decided to do that.
Yeah. So my mom was part initially with, you know, the Seminole Junior Women's Club along with Trudy McNulty. And again, Pete was very instrumental, you know, because he was, you know, bluegrass band. It was his Greengrass Revival at that time was one. There was a host of bands that were in the area, like Whiskey Before Breakfast. Dave Schreiber was in that. Greengrass Revival. There was Obie and Slim. And they were all kind of this group for in downtown St. Pete. And there was a restaurant called the Garden Restaurant where everybody went to.
First,
where was that? Where was that?
That was down on Central Avenue. Jim and Liz Kirshner owned the Garden and were huge proponents of live music. And so everybody played at their bar, played at the Bluegrass Festival, and Jim and Liz then, of course, donated their food and did a pig roast in the backyard.
I love this. And wasn't the Seminole Music Store here?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
It was.
So that, you know, I always thought that was so interesting that there was a real music store here.
Yeah.
It's where Barklife is now.
Yes. It is. And it went on for years.
Right.
Yeah. I was really sad when they closed.
And they gave lessons and they did all of this stuff. And a lot of famous people came through that. But then also the Seminole High School is, you know, talk about having the OG marching band.
Yeah. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Great marching band.
Right.
Yeah. And Color Guard.
And Color Guard. Were you in the Color Guard?
No, I'm not. But, I mean, I've donated to the Color Guards and the band for years.
Oh, I love that. Macy's Day Parade.
Yes.
Which high school did you go to?
I went to Seminole High School.
Were you part of the band?
And I was part of the marching band. Yes. And the chorus.
And what do you play?
Flute.
And you have you and I have met before by phone, and I understand that you were with Gypsy Wind. You were Gypsy Wind.
Yes, for many years, almost 30 years.
Wow.
So it was, you know, and that was part of that whole, you know, from the days of Greengrass Revival and then the evolution, you know, we were kids and we had a family band called Grass with Class. And then later on, you know, Gypsy Wind kind of started in the 90s through the Florida Folk Festival and such. So,
and, you know, I remember when I worked at Heritage Village, they would always have a music festival here and it was amazing. And this would have been 2004, 2005.
Yes.
Right? And so again, I love that you said this, that, you know, music, this is where local music lives and people come. We're going to come back to the Historical Society, but I want to talk about a couple of things. Tell us about, we asked Rick Kreisman and Carrie Kreisman, who also grew up here. Tell us about life, you know, as a teenager. Where would you go? What would you do? What was it like?
Well, it's much different. You know, I mean, I think with the onset of social media, and it's hard to remember a time, you know, without electronics and such. And, like, yeah, and I'm thinking, what did we do? Okay. Well, basically Walsingham Park, which is right around here, this was the reservoir. So oftentimes this was an area where kids would come. 102nd Avenue dead ended. I mean, there was no 102nd. That's where I learned how to drive my car. Okay. So it was the reservoir. Everybody rode their dirt bikes. You know, the guys did, not me, you know, so much, but horses would ride horses. So that was a big part of it. You know, hanging out, going to the football games, Seminole High School football games. There was right where Timeout Bar is, right there at that. That was actually Dino's Pizza. Okay. So Dino's Pizza was the place to go. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. And then later on, Jodo's, you know, opened up on there. So yeah, Dino's Pizza. I remember going there quite a bit. And then a big part, the Seminole Powwow Parade was a much different. Now they have a big festival, like a carnival type of thing. Mm-hmm. Seminole Powwow back then was really a big deal for all of the civic organizations and bands. It was a huge parade. Big deal.
They don't do the parade anymore.
Right.
They do the Christmas boat parade.
Christmas boat parade where they transform cars into. I remember coming to the POW, you know, in 2004. Right.
And it was a big deal. And in the early days, what I'm talking is like the early, when I was a kid, you know, in the 70s, is that the parade ended where the Seminole Fire Department is.
No way.
Yes. It ended there, and all of the firemen cooked barbecue chicken dinners. Yes.
Really community.
Really community. And Dr. Scott Rose, was the, you know, he was principal of Seminole High School and later became superintendent. And then in turn, he became I used to teach at Seminole Middle School. So I was part of Builders Club, and he was Mr. Kiwana. I mean, he was part of the group that did the volunteering of doing the chicken dinners back then. You know, so it was a very, very community, tight-knit, community-oriented type of event, you know.
What's been lost and what's been gained as we look forward and back?
You know, I think let's talk about the positive of what's been gained. I mean, we have a museum. That's
exactly.
One thing. That's one thing that's been gained, which is fantastic, because I think that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, people don't care about history anymore. Yeah, you got to keep telling those stories. You know, you have to keep the idea that we do have a past, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think having the museum, also the rec center, I think Seminole has just been really fantastic about the events that they're doing, like with Music in the Park.
Seminole City Center.
They do the first for. Is it first Friday?
First Friday. Yeah. They're every first Friday.
They do Art in the Park, which is in our park. The Music in the Park, which is in the fall. And then they do a ton of stuff at the rec center.
Yeah, the rec center. I mean, that is really fantastic.
They had a big rummage. They had a big yard sale this year, which I thought was so cool because you got to see people. And then let's talk about the library and the fact that SPC campus is here.
Yes.
How long has that been here?
Oh, gosh. 2000 maybe.
Maybe it's two. Yeah, maybe 2000. 2000.
We were the first joint use campus for St. Pete College.
That's right.
Was the Seminole campus. And at that time it was considered St. Pete Junior College.
Yeah.
They became St. Pete College, and they do 4-year. Programs and beyond.
And workforce development and continuing education and everything else. There's always something going on at that library.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Music.
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 Yes.
The Friends of the Library sponsors the music programs, many of the teen programs, everything that the Friends of the Library generates as far as fundraisers, selling books, everything, that almost 95% of what they take in goes back to the city for the library. I sat on the library advisory board for Seminole and on Pinellas Public Library Cooperative for a total of about 22, 23 years.
Thank you for that.
My pleasure. I got a proclamation from the city of Seminole. I have a day in April.
You do? What day is it? Let's put this on in the record.
The 28th of April.
Wow.
But yeah, our libraries, you know, our library, Seminole Library, is the only one that's open 7 days a week. And because of that, that's the college campus. But we cater to so many families, so many single parents, so many activities that we need to be open to the community.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I see a lot of single parents who have weekend custody bring their kids there. And, you know, I honestly do all my shopping there. For holidays, it's like you're getting something from the gift shop. That's all I have to say.
Right.
Talk to me a little bit about the mayors who have been, you know, who's running the city and how that. We just had the mayor of Pinellas Park here who shared with us some of the things that have been done here. So tell us a little bit about how the city had the vision to put a library there, to do the college, to do, and parks, so many parks.
Oh my gosh. We are so fortunate that we have so many city parks.
Right.
Unbelievable amount. Blossom Lake, Seminole City Lake, or Seminole City Park. There's more, and I can't think of them, and I'm sorry for the Parks and Rec Department.
Yeah.
But when Frank Edmonds was hired, he was the first general manager or director of the city. It was always mayors before that. So I'm trying to work backwards. Leslie Waters,
who has
been in this seat as mayor for many years, and a huge community-minded person, and we are thankful at the museum. She adores us, and she loves the libraries. Her mother was a librarian in Gulfport. And then prior to her was it Dottie Reeder?
Dottie Reeder. There was also Juanita Gesling.
I think during Dottie Reeder's
A lot of women in business. First of all, there's a lot of women in business.
Yes.
Because the Rotary is amazing here. The Seminole Rotary, which basically does the first Friday. A lot of women in business, a lot of women in government.
Yeah. Holland Magnum.
Holland Magnum
might have been one of our favorites.
He was one of the mayors. And then there was also Mayor Neff and Mayor Fawcett. That's as far as back.
Jimmy Johnson.
And then also, like, even in the 70s, too, even when it was the male mayors, there was a lot of – there was a city council at that time, too, but one of our neighbors, Esther Amore, she was on the city. She was a woman that was, you know, instrumental and really – working on the city council. So, yeah, a lot of different players throughout the years.
And we're only on our second city manager, Antoni Deal.
Right.
We went from Frank Edmonds to her. And so.
That's wonderful. Tell me something about the big residential peacock housing that's behind Seminole City Center, because I've always wondered. I know that, you know, I just wondered about it. It just is in the middle, and some of it is got a lease on it, and I think it's up and like soon. How did that get there? And it's a Canadian company that opened it and built it.
The Peacocks used to be in the Seminole City Park.
Okay.
Yeah. Years ago, when I moved here, the early 90s, there were huge
cages
that had lots of birds and the peacocks
and chickens.
And chickens. And the peacocks wandered around. Once they redeveloped Seminole City Park and built a new bandstand, the first bandstand Kristen's father built for bluegrass.
Wow.
Now we have this second one, but they ended up migrating across the street, which is, what's the street your mom's on? 74th
Avenue.
And they live on her property, which is old Florida at its best.
Right.
It's amazing. So, and I'm trying to think, there's another set of peacocks that are behind Park Street.
Yes.
Sacred Land.
Yes,
Sacred Land.
Yes. I always see them when I'm driving the three. But, you know, the other thing that we didn't mention, we talk about parks, it's a county park, is Boca Ciega Millennium, which is built by a Penny for Pinellas.
Yes.
In Seminole that I walk every weekend when the weather cools off. Talk about having an incredible, I think the Penny for Pinellas built the overlook.
Yes.
Right? But right.
They may have done the dam, too.
But talk about a world-class park in a city.
It's beautiful. So much to offer.
Yeah.
We used to do Girl Scout day camps there. We used to take hikes with our kids, walk our dogs.
And then, of course, too, what was found at Boca Ciega Millennium Park, we have in the museum.
Yeah, so the fossils.
The fossils.
So that brings me, I would like you to take us on a tour of the museum.
Okay. All right. Well, when you walk in the door, the first thing you see and what we ask families to, our patrons to do is sign in. And when they do, they look at a 12 by maybe 10 picture that's been done by Sign Age of the Mears house that was there on that park.
Yeah. 1905.
Yeah, right, 1905. Right, yeah. We went from a little tin picture to blowing it up and blowing it up and blowing it up that we could actually see the steeple and the clouds from those pictures.
Here's the church and here's the steeple. Yeah. Open it up and see the steeple.
And so, that was the haunted house. I grew up, I was across the street and that house was abandoned.
The Mears family left.
Yeah. And Maurice Mears was a little bit crazy and he had passed away. And I think that there was a lot of different things left in the house and it was vacant and it was called the haunted house.
Well, you know, Brandi Stark is coming in, Spirits of St. Petersburg soon. So we're going to ask her about that.
Yes,
so thank you for bringing that up. All right. Continuing our tour.
We have a beautiful cabinet that is full of our pioneer family information, including the Brumby family, which now is in North Carolina, but they started the Brumby chairs. If you've seen those big, beautiful chairs that are hand-weaved, I can't remember what that part is called, the seat part. It's a seat, but they weave that still by hand.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. So there's pioneer information. Beyond that is our library. We have a fabulous library that is totally cataloged and organized by author, by title, by what they're about, whether it's the Native American Indians or it's seashells in our area. We try to stay predominantly regarding with Seminole authors, but there's still so much overlay from between St. Pete, Seminole, Largo, Clearwater, but we still try to just kind of bring in a little bit more of Seminole. From there, we've got a wall that has on both sides etchings from our master artist, Dennis McBride. He's done etchings of homes that are, most of them are gone now, of Thurston Groves, which now is a residential community, to Jasmine Groves that, you know, their buildings. From there is the fossils, which is a huge thing. When you walk in that front door, you see across the room the Columbian mammoth, who would have been as tall as our ceilings, which are 12-foot ceilings. Wow. And then when one of those fossils was discovered by two people, it's a young woman and a young man, a high school, Seminole High School, they found part of a youth molar. An adult molar. They found half of it. And so they didn't know what it was. It looks like a footprint in the mud. But somebody thought that, you know, we need to contact somebody. So they contacted the Museum of Science in Gainesville. And they had Dr. Holbert came, who's a paleontologist. The Tampa Bay Dig Club came. And that was in Millennium Park. And all of those fossils, over 110,000 of them, were stored and they're the Science Museum in Gainesville. So when we knew we were going into the museum, we said, we need to get those back because they're from our home. They were all in drawers. They weren't displayed anywhere.
Yeah,
so Dr. Holbert came in this little tiny car with these cardboard boxes wrapped up in newspaper, these fossils that are over 11,000 years old. And he placed them. He figured out how we would have them. We have inventory of them. They are on loan permanently, unless something happens. But yes, we had to commit to saying that we would insure it. We would be
huge undertaking.
Oh yeah, and huge, but lovingly. We were so excited about it. We had a delegation that left and went a couple times to Gainesville to speak, and we brought the fossils home. Not all of them, but we brought a lot of them home.
Yeah.
The Columbian mammoth is huge. And then, of course, we had a saber-tooth. And now it's not called a saber-tooth tiger. It's now called a saber-tooth cat. That's the new lingo Okay. Paleontology, I guess.
Really?
Yes.
I think there should be a night at the museum sleepover for adults. Oh, yeah. Where, you know, yeah. it comes to life.
A night in the museum.
I'm really truly thinking that those fossils come to life at
oh,
night.
Oh, my gosh. I think the most unusual one is the giant armadillo.
A giant armadillo. They're not big enough as they are?
It was as big as a Volkswagen Beetle car. So, of course,
you are making this up.
No, I'm not. No. So, of course, one of the powwow festivals, when they still did a parade, we had a very clever person, Sue Etter, who did a lot of designs and created things in our museum. And I was able to commandeer a Volkswagen car, and she made it into a giant armadillo with a tail that was on the back, that went back and forth. We got our new t-shirts which now we still use, Future Fossils. We sell them for $20.
I'm buying one. I'm coming over to get one.
And the words are made out of bones. So, anyway, and you walking around with our logo in the back, but that's how we brought the fossils to life.
That's incredible. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
How fun is history?
Oh, my.
History is wonderful.
It's wonderful.
We're all wearing heart necklaces today. Yes. And I said, you know, I think this is the iHeart History Club.
That it is. We are geeks. We are truly geeks.
We are. You know what? We love our nerds and geeks. So, folks, if you've just joined me on One Place, Many Voices, I have Kristen Oliphant, a longtime resident of Seminole, a music person, also taught in schools here, and Michelle Abrams, who's working
Abramo.
Abramo.
Oh, yes.
I love that. That's a good name. Michelle Abramo, who's the president of the incredible Seminole Historical Society. I want to read a couple things on your website and ask you about this. So, you know, the early 1860s is when individual settlers came here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did they come in wagons? Where'd they come from?
They came from overseas. So
they came from overseas?
Yeah, so they would have to have come, you know, via boat, you know,
and came here.
Yeah,
to Florida. So
yeah, it's all scrub,
right?
The Leach family, and that's why you have like Leach Estates and the Mears. I mean, they had a whole area in that whole Millennium Park area. They had a homestead there too.
So the Archers, the Campbells, the Cobbs, the Dume. Did I say that right? Or did you say Dume or Dume?
Dume.
One more time. Grabo, Mears, Moody, O'Quinn, Sartorius, Thevenet, and Tyler. Also, Johnson, Leach, Longley, Repetto, Thurston, and Whittle.
And Campbell's.
So they found the tall pines suitable for building their homes mm-hmm. and raising their cattle and plentiful wildlife, turkey, deer, quail, to feed their families. Do we still have any of these homes intact?
Well, I can tell you that the house next door to my mom's mm-hmm. is a home built by the Mears family.
Okay.
And it was built in 1915, and that is still standing. And the Schaefer sold it, but that is an old home. That's a very old home, and it's right next door. Yeah, and it was 1915. Wow. And actually, a longtime resident of Seminole, Dr. Bill Bone, lived there for many years, and he had one of the first veterinary offices on Seminole Boulevard.
We know that's wonderful.
Yeah. But that's one of the older homes, and I don't know if there's any others. That there was one. Wasn't there a Campbell home?
There was a Campbell. Actually, Jesse Johnson at one time, yeah. and they moved the home to where it is now, which is on Ridge Road across from Thurston Estates, and now that is used, I believe, by one of the priests of one of the churches that are along there.
Oh, it's St. Justin Martyr?
St. Yeah. Justin Martyr.
Okay.
That was the last that I heard that was living
there. And
two
big churches, the St. John's, St. Justin the Martyr, and the one near me, which is on...
St. Jerome?
Yes, thank you.
Yes,
but
yeah.
this was
Hamlin.
Two huge church campuses.
Yes.
Lots of churches. I've never seen so many churches as there are in Seminole.
Yeah. Sadly, though, we're losing a church. The Presbyterian Church on
86.
Yeah, on 86 and 113th.
Yeah. Wow, that's sad.
I believe it's being demolished.
Sad.
But anyway.
Yeah, interesting. So 1910, there were 75 people. 75 people. 75. How many now?
Well, now we're a city and we're unincorporated.
Right. Yeah, I actually live in unincorporated.
I do too. So before the city, I think, was starting to actively incorporate, I think we only had like 17,000 people. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is now.
Something around
well,
that.
Well, you know, it's amazing to me because you had farmers and orange grove owners. Now you have every kind of, you know, person living here. It's a wonderful community. You go to the Seminole City Center. You run into, today I ran into two people that, looking at them, I've seen them before. I think I know them. Yeah, I know you. You have great schools.
Oh, absolutely.
You have a great museum. And it's the gathering place. I'm going to read this because this is beautifully written. I'm sure you did it. A gathering place for the dreams of the past and the rich history of our community. It's a place for telling stories of those who are no longer here to tell for themselves. Now, you do a lot of events.
That's not that, me. That well, was probably Jimmy John.
Jimmy Vines. Vinnie,
Jimmy Vines.
Yeah.
He was our historian, has been gone for quite a while now, but he was a romantic storyteller. Yeah. And history. He when you came into the museum and he gave a tour, you stayed for over an hour. So I'm sure that could be his words.
Love that. Probably, and we yeah. feel you here today with us. Yeah. So yes. The museum is open Saturdays and Thursdays, 10 to 1. You Correct. Offer private tours for groups.
We do.
And you have a calendar. And folks, the website is historicalsociety.org. And tell us about some of the upcoming events and also some of the good deeds you're doing.
Well, I'll tell you about the good deeds. We are registered with Pinellas County Schools as a museum, so kids can come. I mean, we even if you don't go to Pinellas County Schools, but for the social studies department, we are one of the places that is recommended, we've been approved to be able to be on their website, so that schools say, oh, we can, you know, this can be a field trip.
Right.
But I mean, we have, you know, we have homeschool tours that we've done. We've had several private schools come. We have, besides just the schools that come in Seminole Elementary, they walk to us and they have lunch in the park. It's just crazy. It's wonderful that kids can do this and then realize, oh, what's in my backyard?
Yeah.
You know, a great park and a great museum. And then we have several groups from different places, living developments
right.
that will sign up to come, organizations that want to come and take a tour. We, like I said, we are free. We operate by donations and membership. And it's really nice sometimes when another community organization comes and they donate to us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so cool.
And speaking of donating, folks, if you have documents, historical documents, photographs, yes. and artifacts to the museum, what do they do? What should they do, Michelle?
Contact us on our website, info@historicalsociety.org. Send us a picture or a couple. Please don't bring it in. We want to look
Here's
at
my mastermind.
Yeah. And that happens sometimes. And we as a board will decide whether it's something that is useful to us in talking about the past and the present. I mean, we've gotten that's how most of this stuff started in the rec center was just donations, but it was a lot of flat donations. Now we've built displays and we can show Seminole Elementary, you know, and with a chair and their curtain from their the original building. Mm-hmm. The other community information or things that we've been doing is we wanted to encourage communities to partner with us. So we just started this, and one of our board members, Laura Jordan, came up with the idea. We started it in May. May is Mother's Day, so we invited the Pinellas Seminole Women's Club to come in, and they were there with their display and their information every day that we were open in the museum, which was really cool.
That's very cool.
Yes. Yeah.
So you don't have your own museum, but you can come and show.
Display.
We would like to have them here on studio for that too. You should tell them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then June was know your volunteers, know who they are. So we highlighted with big starbursts all of us and our volunteers. I mean, the board is the volunteers, but I guess we should say docents.
Right.
All the volunteers that we have, which are we are so lucky right now that we have a nice group and a big group of volunteers.
How many people?
There's between the board and them, maybe 15.
That's
huge.
Great. That is huge for us.
That's huge.
It's huge.
Because that's been a little bit of a difficulty.
It used to be just board members.
Yeah.
Before COVID, we had probably that amount of volunteers.
Yeah.
So June was, know the volunteers. May is Santa's Angels.
Right.
Mike Brown. That. Oh, my gosh. They have
July.
Or July, yes.
Right. Christmas is July. Folks, this is the time now to do this, and tell us all about that.
Well, Mike Brown, it's an organization that he runs with his daughter, Eve, and this is kind of a slow time for them, but a great time to get people thinking about the families and children that are in need. So, they've got two tables set up. We have two big gift baskets. We're selling raffle tickets to get the gift baskets. One of them is a gift basket that the Santa's Angels put together. One is one that the museum has put together. They're worth minimum of $300. So a ticket is $1, six tickets is $5. And from the tip of your right finger, middle finger, all the way across your back to the tip of your left middle finger, you can buy for $20.
Wow. And that's all we're going to say about that.
That's all right.
Yeah. So what they're looking for, folks, is canned vegetables, noodles, soup, tuna, peanut butter, jelly, crackers, and paper towels, toy needs for kids ages 12 and up, boys and girls, clothing, socks, games, sports balls, bike helmets and locks, Legos, age 4 and up, book coloring books, Toy Story, Paw Patrol, Disney-related toys, and for infant, early learning books and toys. You also can adopt a mile.
Yes. Well, hold on one second, though. Okay. Those, I got so excited about it, I forgot to talk about it. Anyway, those raffle tickets, you don't have to buy a raffle ticket. If you bring in a canned good, one of the toys, not a can, wow, but one of the toys or one of the food items, you get a raffle ticket for free.
I love that. Oh. And when will you draw the raffle?
It is going to be the last Thursday in July. That's because they're done in July.
That will be July 30th,
and it's
folks.
Going to be on at 1 o'clock. You don't need to be there. If you fill out your print your name and your phone number, we're going to contact you or us and or Santa's Angels.
I love that. I just love that. Now, are you celebrating some milestone? Did I see the 50 number on the website?
We did for the city of Seminole. The city of Seminole, we celebrated the 50th anniversary. It was around COVID.
Yeah. So 2020?
Something like that.
All right, we didn't want to open that video.
Right?
I can't remember.
I think it was 1970 or 1971. That the city was established.
Yeah.
So we only have a few more minutes before we go to the St. Pete Museum of History because this is the day where this is where history lives.
Wow.
I want to talk about the Adopt-A-Mile.
Okay. The Adopt-A-Mile is something that's through Keep Pinellas Beautiful.
Love those people.
Honest to goodness, wonderful people. The director, Patricia, is fabulous. And I just found out that they do offer grants. They will come to look at your property. I'm not sure if it's just for private residents, but she did say that to me at a meeting that we were just at. They'll come look at it. What do we want to do with it? Make sure it's approved with our city and do some sort of installment to make it beautiful. But we do our Adopt-A-Mile 4 times a year, and we do it's Old Oakhurst, and we always put that on our website.
I love Oakhurst. I love driving that. I just love that road. When I drive down that road past Boca Ciega Millennium Park, and there's a house with a dog shed. Used to have big German shepherds, but I just look at the houses. They're set back. Yeah. It's an old Florida vibe.
Kristen's mom is the one that was one of the people part of Save Old Oakhurst
Road.
Yes.
And that
thank
was back
you.
In 2000.
Yeah.
I think it was. 99
and 2000. Save It You Did. Yeah. Save It You Did. I love coming around the corner by Shelley Circle, seeing the Seminole Historical Museum. So, folks, I want to ask you before we leave, we're going to ask you the questions we've asked everyone. Over as we approach this is our America 250 anniversary. What do you hope future generations will understand about the importance of history and Seminole's role in that history?
Wow. Firstly, is just so that they appreciate it. Know that there were people before them that set the tone for the city and set the tone for the community. Seminole has always been considered a small town, small community place. And we talk about it all the time. Our motto is where the present remembers the past. I mean, and it's you need to remember. In order to go forward, I think you need to know where you came from. And I think Seminole is part of that place.
It is. And I think a big part of that is through the telling of stories.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think oftentimes, especially, you know, in learning, you know, you look at a date and you try to go, okay, this happened on this date, like a timeline, and it doesn't have the significance of somebody sharing, oh, I remember this is where we used to go.
Right.
And this is what it was. And I think the sharing through storytelling, that's why it's so important, like, you know, coming into the museum and having the docents talk about, okay, this is how it was. So that would be a hope that,
yeah,
that continues, that, you know, there is a strong history here.
And we community. Do a speaker series every month, right, the fourth Wednesday of the month. And a lot of it is historians. People, yeah, they may not be called historians, but they're people that talk about the history or talk about something in particular.
Who do you have coming up?
Right now we've got Kathy Solcia.
Kathy Celestri from the Gabber.
Yeah, sorry, Kathy.
Who does Florida Spectacular, and you can hear those podcasts on Radio St. Pete.
Absolutely. Oh, nice. She's going to be here in September. She's going to be talking about B-movies in Florida. We're going to serve popcorn and soda. We're so excited.
Wow.
It starts at 7 o'clock. October is a gentleman that is an author, and he was a FBI agent in the Tampa Bay area.
What's his name?
His name is Al, and I can't remember what his name is.
Send him over to Radio St. Pete. We want it. We definitely want it.
I think that maybe it's NPR that talks to his daughter, Kristen Hare.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Kristen Hare. It's her dad.
Okay.
He's not Hare, though. He's okay. It's Al. Yeah. Sorry, I've just been calling
okay.
him Al.
Oh, Al.
Al. Al. And then November, Dave Anderson from Sacred Lands. He's been at our museum. Yeah. We are planning a field trip, and we're trying to make it work to set it up. But and they're really excited about it. We just want to make sure the dates are right for them as well. But we're gonna do our speaker series at their place at Sacred Lands.
Loves that. And you know, I hope that you'll have Bill DeYoung,
whose
Vintage Four is out. His newest book is out, and he is a Seminole resident.
Yes. We had him for the Skyway.
Yep. Yeah, yep. But he's got a brand new book out, Vintage Four, and just was at Tumblr Book, so he would be a super great person to
all
have.
Right.
Folks, I want to just say this has just been an absolute girl gab fest. So interesting.
Sorry, Tim.
Kristen,
sorry.
Kristen Oliphant, just, you know, come back and play with Gypsy Wind.
Sure.
You know, make it happen. And then, oh my God, Michelle Abramo, the president of the Seminole Historical Society Museum. You are lovely. We hope to have you back in again. For One Place, Many Voices, I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. We thank very much Heritage Village for bringing this all together, powered by the funds from Florida Humanities and a project for the Smithsonian. So thank you both, ladies, for
Nanette,
being
thank
here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This was really a lot of fun.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
Folks,
great.
History is fun. So get back and look forward.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.